This is Maryland Morning on 88.1. Welcome back. I'm Sheila Cast. In the early 20th century, tens of thousands of British soldiers returned home from World War I battles with a mysterious condition that left them racked with anxiety and in psychological distress. It was thought to be caused by the blast of artillery shells, so people called it shell shock. Now, 100 years later, scientists at the Johns Hopkins University School of Medicine have found what they believe to be the physical evidence of shell shock in the brains of veterans. And with me to talk about it is Vasilis Koliatsis, professor of pathology, neurology, and psychiatry at the Johns Hopkins School of Medicine. Welcome to the show.
Good morning.
You looked at the brains of veterans of the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan who had died not in battle, but afterwards, after they came home. And in these autopsies, you saw a pattern of similar lesions. How did you come to the conclusion that these lesions were a result of IEDs or artillery blasts?
Obviously, this is a difficult question. You look at brains often months and years after the exposure to trauma. I'm talking about physical trauma in this particular case, exposure to explosions. What makes someone link this finding to the blast event, the explosive event, is the pattern. They look different than anything else we've seen before. They look different, for example, from brains that we get from falls or from motor vehicle crashes. This is a new pattern. And when you see a new pattern in science, you really want to pay attention and wonder what this may mean.
So the physical traces you see in the brain are different than what you'd see from somebody who dies in a car crash.
Correct. So actually, if I could add something here, the only condition that differentiated this group of brains was the exposure to the blast event of their owners. What is interesting here is also that most of these young people died of methadone overdose, perhaps accidental overdose. So you had to look at brains that died of methadone overdose without prior exposure to blast, and They look different. So these brains look different not only compared to motor vehicle crash brains, but also compared with people who died of drug overdoses.
You've described this pattern as a, quote, distinctive honeycomb pattern of broken and swollen nerve fibers. Do we know how and why that pattern is created? What is going on in the brain that makes it?
We don't exactly know. As you said in the beginning, blast is a 100-year-old mystery. We do believe from engineering models where you simulate blast events, we do believe that the physical effect of the blast on the brain produces these squeeze events, if you wish, or other complex mechanical events that create these diffuse lesions, these widespread lesions. They're tiny, they're very small, but they're widespread. And many of them are in the front of the brain, what we call the frontal lobe, which really makes people having difficulties concentrating, putting things together, planning ahead. It makes life difficult for you.
That's Vasilis Koliatsis, professor of pathology, neurology, and psychiatry at the Johns Hopkins University School of Medicine. Here on Maryland Morning 88.1, I'm Sheila Cast. We're talking about his research into the impact of IEDs on veterans' brains. So can this study tell us anything about how we may be able to treat the psychological trauma that veterans suffer?
Not directly, but obviously it raises some very important questions. For example, if you see depression or mood changes or changes in personality in someone who's been exposed to blast as part of the combat experience, one wonders, is it just a vanilla depression, like depression you see on everybody, or it is that also life has become very difficult for this person because they cannot put things together. It's a frontal lobe lesion. Life is difficult. You cannot concentrate. You cannot remember very well. You cannot put things together. You cannot plan. You cannot organize your day. If life becomes difficult, you can imagine that it's more easier for you to become depressed. Or if you are depressed, depression is getting worse.
But can you envision that there might be a medicine that would actually fill in that honeycomb pattern and actually fix things in the brain?
So the implication actually is that you may need to concentrate on the frontal lobe. We don't have exactly medicines that have been proven to be effective, but we do have some medicines to help with frontal lobe functions. For example, the easiest case is stimulants we use for children with attention deficit hyperactivity. So, in other words, we might want to concentrate more on frontal lobe functions rather than just concentrate on depression. This is one implication. The other is by finding small lesions in the brain, it takes away some of the stigma associated with mental illness, unfortunately, still in our communities. It takes away the idea that this is some sort of mental weakness. These people may have real brain problems.
Physical
brain lesions. As tiny as they can be, it may make the function of the front of the brain more difficult.
You studied autopsies on the brains of deceased veterans. Could we someday be able to detect these lesions, this unique pattern, while a veteran is still alive?
That would be ideal. And I would hope that these findings would make people more interested in developing strategies to look at these lesions in living brain. Unfortunately, the ways we have to look at brains right now, like the magnetic resonance imaging we have, the MRI, do not have the granularity. They do not have the degree of detail you have with the microscope.
In an autopsy.
But it may be getting there in the next few years with the new improved technologies. And again, my hope would be that one day, perhaps not too far from today, we would be able to study these phenomena, these lesions in the living brain. That would be also the best way to link up such changes to the blast event, because you would be able to follow a human being after the event over time.
This is so interesting. Thank you so much for explaining it to us. Thanks.
Thank you very much.
Vasilis Koliatsis. He's the study's lead author. He's a professor of pathology, neurology, and psychiatry at the Johns Hopkins University School of Medicine. We have more information on our website, wypr.org/Maryland Morning. Maryland Morning is an original production
of your public radio,
WYPR,
in Baltimore.
The show is produced by Matt Purdy
and Jana McCone.
We have production help from
Estelle Klein
and Catherine Sway.
Nathan Sterner directs and engineers.
Coffee for our guests provided by Zeke's Coffee in Lauraville. On the web at ZEKESCoffee.com.
I'm Tom Hall.
And I'm Sheila Cast. Tomorrow is January 17th. On that day in Maryland history, 1971, the Baltimore Colts beat the Dallas Cowboys to win the Super Bowl. Ah, yes. Have a great holiday weekend. We're back Monday.